State Affairs come to order, please. Welcome to those who come in to observe. I note on that there is no witnesses. This is not a hearing per se. There have been many questions that the committee had as to the qualifications, if you will, of the gentleman that I hired, Mr. Fletcher, who was sitting at the table, and his qualifications regarding his work that he did for the committee, and that he was paid $4,000 for. I thought, in my judgment, the best way to solve some of those problems and answer some of those questions was to, during the work session, have Mr. Fletcher appear before us, and those members that have questions, I think Mr. Fletcher would be more than happy to answer. You do have in front of you a resume, a personal data sheet, letters of recommendations, etc., from Mr. Fletcher. We've asked him to submit, and you now have. However, before I start into there, I will say that I would also like to state that we do have some violations of the statutes, Department of DOT. As a result of it, I've turned it over to the legislative legal counsel and should be hearing something back very shortly. I think perhaps now is about a good time. I'd like to introduce to the members of the committee Mr. Fred Fletcher, I'm sorry, Fred, who lives in Juneau and has been working in the Department of DOT for some time. And I will now, I would like to caution the members, however, this is not the Inquisition. This is an informal, if you will, on record, information that, or questions to Mr. Fletcher from the members of the committee. Mr. Cogger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I note, Fred, by your resume, you came from Moultrie, Georgia?
Yes.
I happen to know a couple of people, Mr. Ray Maul from Moultrie. And
Ray Maul?
Ray, and his father, also that makes airplanes down there.
It's been a long time since I've been in Moultrie.
But anyway, I noticed by your resume that we are, or personal data sheet, that you have quite a bit of background in accounting. Is that
not really? Just 5 years I've been with the state was in accounting. Previous to that, in the Coast Guard, I was a communications specialist.
So you were employed by the state for 5 years, is that true? Or for
5 years to the day.
Yeah, 5 years. Did were you contacted by State Affairs, or how did you get involved with performing the services for the committee?
I was contacted after I retired, not by State Affairs, by another person, and asked if I'd be interested in doing some work for the state along these lines. I told them I would, especially when I found out it was about the renovation project. And a few days later, I was contacted by the chairman, representative of Duke, and explained, he told me what he would like for me to do. And I felt like it needed to be done, so I agreed.
Did, then you, the documents or the figures that you helped document that we have in this report before us, then that you helped obtain them documents to document them figures, is that or knew where to look? Or
specifically, I was hired to, with my experience at DOT, to go into the files, follow the expenditures through the department and state accounting system, and recover backup documentation to show just how the $2.434 million was spent on the renovation. It got to the point with the transferring of expenditures out of the project cost accounting system into operating accounts, and also the charging of costs that should be related to the renovation to certain in operating accounts. So the exact figure $2.43 million is probably not correct. That's what shows in the operating CIP project account, H79164. There are other charges in the building maintenance and operation account, the T account for the governor's mansion, and in certain in operating accounts that aren't reflected in that $2.434 million. And the figure reported in the chairman's report of $2.7 million includes certain charges incurred by M&O personnel after the contractors went off the job in November.
So there were some other documents, you think, that might be available? Did I understand you?
The charges that went to the end operating accounts were recorded on timesheets. They were processed. They are in the system. They just were not reflected in the renovation project account, 879164.
So they may be other charges that we haven't? I'm trying to find, do you feel that the report is complete? Or would there be other charges possible, the public information, that would be add to the cost of the...
I'll put it this way, the report is as complete as I could make it in a 30-day period. I mean, I think it would take considerable time to go in and dig into the records and see just where all the charges went. Obviously, some charges went to places where they should not have gone, and how many charges there are, that's a matter that DOT can answer. I suspicion that the cost to renovate the mansion is in excess of $2.7 million. That's my opinion.
Did you, the documents, did you, were there any documents that you failed to, that you found that possibly shed a different light on it that you withheld or anything?
That I withheld?
That didn't present to the committee or oversight that perhaps possibly showed any kind of a different light that you...
No, sir, I presented everything to the committee. The only portions of it have been reported by a committee or had hearings on by the committee up to this point. There's other factors involved that haven't really been discussed yet, but everything was made available to the chairman, representative of the group.
I was just wondering if you didn't, just to clear up, that you presented it as you seen it or as you got the information, you didn't withhold some document that might have shed it, that you discovered or in your investigation, that you didn't withhold any information to you.
No, sir.
Yield.
Second, third, fourth hand, so I'm not, to be honest with you, I can't even remember. But the question came up that the information that we were going to obtain could possibly be tainted because you're having left the employment of the state, and the rumor was under less than favorable circumstances. With that, of course, I did briefly go over your resume that you presented to us. And I guess to start with your resume and to show you some of the questions that I guess lead up to what I'm going to ask, and in all good faith, I want to ask these questions for the credibility of the report and so forth. I noticed that basically From June 72 to July of 77, which was a five-year period of time, you operated a partnership business back in Georgia, and at that time you completed much of your education. Some of the courses, as indicated, were accounting and so forth, which should give you a background. It seems like you first came to Alaska then, or at least first worked for the state of Alaska, from November of 78 until August 29th, 79, you worked for the State Department of Labor, which was a nine-month period of time. The next indication of your employment I have is from August of 79 to May of 79, which is another nine-month period of time when you worked with the Department of Health and Social Services. The next record indicated in your resume was May the 7th to October the 7th for Health and Social Services as an accountant 3, which is another five-month period of time. Your next notation was from October the 7th of 1980 to March the 31st of 1981, which was another five-month period of time. It kind of tells your responsibilities, but it doesn't really say what position or with what department. The last notation I see within your resume is March the 31st to December the 31st of 1981, which is a nine-month period of time, when you were the accounting supervisor 3. I take from your earlier testimony and what you just had in response to Representative Calgary's question was that then from December of 31 until your retirement, which I assume if it was 5 years to the date, must have been November of 1983. And that was with the Department of Transportation. I'm assuming this, so please correct me now if I'm wrong. While you were with the Department of Transportation, just what was your job and how did it relate then to the renovation of the mansion, as you indicated here a few minutes ago?
When I was first contacted to go to work for DOT, I was working at the Department of Labor. And the gentleman that had been my boss at HNSS was a deputy director, had taken a deputy directorship at DOT. He called me at Labor and told me he had a position for an accounting supervisor 3, which is what I was in. It was a lateral transfer, which is what it would amount to. And he explained to me what a big job he had of straightening out a particular mess in DOT and CIP projects, capital improvement projects. And he asked me to come to work for him. He said he was establishing a new unit called a research unit to work strictly with capital projects in the county. Well, I gave it considerable support, and I did. I took a lateral transfer to DOT and established the unit. The unit didn't exist. We had to build it from the ground up. It remained a research unit until the time that we moved from the Douglas Island building to the Goldstein building, which I believe was July 81. And when they regionalized the DOT, we split the research unit into regional accounting units, headquarters, central, southeast, and interior. At that time, I was promoted to accounting supervisor 4, and I was supervisor of the 3 regional accounting units. They each represented their respective regions and all their problems with CIP projects, correction of expenditures that got in the wrong place, encumbrances on CIP projects, generally just CIP, Department 24. And at the time, the research unit was reorganized, as I recall, as about 28 to 32 employees under my supervision. When the unit was split into 3 regional accounting units, I ended up with 7 to 9 people in each regional accounting unit, with a accounting supervisor 3 over each unit who came directly under me. But the ultimate responsibility for operation of the 3 units was mine. But all I did when I worked at DOT was strictly capital improvement project across the county. I followed the 1615 run, which doesn't mean anything to you, but it's a project cost accounting run that was generated monthly from DOT. List all the projects by appropriation, expenditures to date, inception to date, and balances for each project. Specifically, what I devoted my effort to was trying to control the way money was spent in CIP projects. And I had projects funded at one level with encumbrances far above the authorized funding, which just baffled me, and I tried to control that, and finally I did get that under control. By my boss issued an order that the only person that could sign an encumbrance document on a CIP project was myself or himself, thereby ensuring the fact that no more than authorized funding would be encumbered. So we pretty much brought that under control, and then I attacked the problem of overspending CIP projects. The control not being at the project level for spending, if you have a pot of money with a dozen projects in it, one project can spend all the money. And I tried to bring this under control. I never did, but I improved it some. But as with the governor's office renovation, besides the fact that they spent over $2 million doing it, in the specific co-location code where the project was funded, the majority of the funding, the fire life safety architectural barrier change, $5.2 million part of money, that particular co-location code was overspent by over $500,000. Well, it should not be special emphasis made on that over-expenditure because it was the governor's matching renovation, because it's common practice to overspend. And I can take any 1615 run up till November the 30th. Of course, I can't vouch for what's happened since then, to show you project after project that's overspent, simply because the co-location code has the money in it, and as long as the money is there, the state accounting system will generate a payment document or accept a payment document, whereas the State Department of Transportation project cost accounting system has no control over it.
Would that answer your question?
Yeah, basically, if I may just proceed, Mr. Chairman, I would like to call attention to the committee of the State of Alaska's performance evaluation and note that basically in Mr. Fletcher's last year of employment that he had outstanding ratings in all of the categories. And I think that's very important to know.
Could I ask you something? When you, in the initial start of directing your question to me, you said, I believe that I left under less than favorable conditions. I would like to have a little amplification on that.
Sure.
Exactly what you mean.
Like I told the chairman here in the committee earlier, Mr. Fletcher, that that was a rumor that I thought I had heard it on two different occasions that we should put to rest. And the best way to put it to rest was to have you come so that we could direct some questions and make sure everyone knew about your capabilities and the study and the manner in which it was conducted, so that we have credibility for the study once it leaves the State Affairs Committee.
Mr. Fletcher, would you care to make any statements regarding the last Mr. Larson's, or would you prefer not to? I've got some other questions here for you at this point.
Well, there was one thing. I had very little indication as to what might be asked of me at this meeting today, but I did understand that it was regarding my credibility. And to, as a sort of a proof of my performance at DOT, I decided that, I would pull out my final evaluation report to present to the committee, should there be any questions. Well, I couldn't find it, and it dawned on me that I didn't remember to get my final evaluation. So I went to my previous supervisor, the deputy director of policy and fiscal management, or whatever the phony name is, Casey stuck on it. It used to be Division of Financial Management. But I told him I didn't get a final evaluation. And he said the final evaluation was outstanding all the way around, completely, and it was still sitting on the director's desk that he wouldn't sign it because he wanted him to change it, and he was not going to change it. As far as I know, it still sits on his desk. And that don't bother me, really, because the man I work for says I did an outstanding job, and that's all that matters to me.
Mr. Chairman?
Larson.
Yeah, the evaluation report that I'm looking at covers the period from January the 16th, 82 to January the 16th, 83. And I believe maybe I erred and said that the last year of your employment, but you said you retired in November of 83, was it?
November the 30th of 83 was my last date. And the evaluation I speak of now is the one that covered the period from January the 16th, 83 to November the 30th, 83.
Yeah, this one is kind of light so that I can't actually see the signatures, but you can see where someone has written on a copy that I have.
Just so that there's no question of it, I think you'll find out that if you look at it, you'll find Supervisor of Research and Revenue Units. In the research unit, this was different from the last, from January that you worked in, isn't that correct?
That's right.
From January to November, you worked for who? DOT?
For DOT, but it was Supervisor of the Regional Accounting Units instead of the
This one just covers that. And what he's saying is that the other evaluation is final on its finality is being held by the deputy director.
For what reason?
Or the director, so I don't know.
I had a couple
Mr.
more.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, just a brief follow-up. The evaluation that I got in the performance of your position, of course, was outstanding. I might ask that in your prior experience, have you conducted any, say, studies that would require the same type of investigative effort or research and so forth as this study required?
No, sir.
And I believe maybe you stated this earlier, but your statement was that the time in which we allowed you to do the study just didn't offer you the opportunity to do the study in the detail in which you think probably should have, or?
Well, if I could be expected to identify any calls wherever it should have to be recorded, it would take a lot of time. Looking at one project, 879164, it's one thing, but when you start checking into operating account expenditures, and then I got deeply involved with the T account, which is where many charges were recorded that should not have been. They should have been recorded in the renovation account because they dealt directly with the renovation.
And I guess my last question would be probably my most direct one, and I'm asking it in all sincerity and honesty here, everyone. I understand that your job was just to collect data, not to make any conclusions. I know I oftentimes make statements, and then when I read in the paper a comment in relation to the statement I made, it's sometimes different or it's been changed or interpreted a little differently. In all innocence, people do that. Have you had a chance to read the conclusions that have been drawn from your data?
Yes, sir. I read most of it last night.
And would you say those reflect accurately what you were trying to portray and the evidence that you had gathered?
If you're talking about the chairman's report, yes, except that I feel that costs are higher than 2.7 million.
I think that's very important, and I thank you very much, and I thank the chairman for allowing me the opportunity, sir, to just get some of these questions out. I think my questions have been satisfied. And,
thank you, Mr. Ward.
Thank you. Mr. Fletcher, my name is Jerry Ward, and I'm glad to meet you.
Just one moment. Please note the presence of Mr. Ward in the committee and also Mr. Miller.
Mine's more of an information. I wanted to know if these were utilized in the formation of your in-depth search. Have you ever been privileged to the Capital Projects Cleanup Committee Interim Report Number 1, or the Arthur Young Executive Summary Concerning Capital Project Operating and Environment? Have you ever heard of the term funny money?
Funny money?
before.
Yeah, I've heard the term thing, right?
Okay, do you believe that there's about $2 billion worth of monies in the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities pipeline right now?
Do I believe it?
Unspent monies.
No.
Do you have any estimate as how much is unspent at present time in there?
I wouldn't care to comment on that. I think all the money that is available to DOT is properly recorded on the books.
Okay, I've got several figures here, which I won't work from a document, which you can't see or work from. I think what I need to know is I want to understand more about how money works, because I found from this report here that there is a $6 million, $1.2 million, $40 million, different ones. And this is the governor's report, too, by the way. That's what this is, where there's just monies that are gone, and they don't know where they went. Various programs and such, and they've the costs already paid by PBAs are placed in clearing accounts such as D99996 and are collected in both FMSs and PBBs. And I tried to understand this, and I thought that the Arthur Young accounting company would be able to summarize it for me, but it seems to me that to trace money at all through this is what you did in the Mansion's audit report. And I think you're right. I think that the little $500,000 or $2.7 million or $3 million or whatever it's going to finally end up to, I concur with you that that's only the tip of the iceberg. Because the way I read this here...
Mr. Chairman, I just want to object for a moment. That is not what the witness said. He did not say it was the tip of the iceberg. He may or may not believe that's the tip of the iceberg.
Do you believe that is the tip of the iceberg? That Form 16, I think you said, we'd find this throughout the entire... process.
If you mean is over expenditure in that particular co-location code on the governor's mansion renovation, the tip of an iceberg as far as over expenditure in CIP projects go, yes.
Okay, thank you. I will continue. I don't know. I've tried to understand this. I've been working with Representative Bussell on this, trying to find out, and Senate Transportation is now dealing with the funny money problem right now. Where these accounts have just evaporated in the thin air. Department of Revenue, as I understand it, and since you worked as a Transportation Public Facility account number 3, maybe you can explain to me. According to Commissioner Heath, the money is appropriated to DocPuff, say $39,275,000, $39 million, $40 million is appropriated to them for a certain project. Then the Department of Revenue and the Governor's Office and the Legislature and the Administration cease to exist as far as any kind of accountability for it. And until there's money returned from DocPuff, until they make a motion back, that money just stays there, apparently unbooked, even though as we go through these documents, it appears that some of these monies have vanished to a large extent. Is that your understanding as an accountant, supervisor number 3? Have you ever been privileged to anything like that happening before?
No doubt that the money's vanished. When you're dealing with CIP projects, first off, you're talking about continuing accounts, and continuing accounts at year end rather than lapsing as it does in operating accounts. It rolls forward into the new year. The balance, whatever it is, rolls forward, and it keeps rolling forward until such time as the appropriation is closed down, the project is final, and there's money left. Then at that time, the money would be returned to the treasury.
If I may, any time during your employment as an accountant, were you ever to lay your hands on the knowledge of how much money was in forward ongoing accounts at any one time, how much money the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities got in their possession?
Not really, except that I can tell you shortly after we moved to the Goldstein building that the expenditure on CIP projects is so completely out of hand. Though myself, I was appointed by my boss to take 3 or 4 other people and sit down at a table and write journal vouchers restricting money that was in CIP codes, and we wrote restrictions for about $500 million that was sitting there free to spend that have not been allocated to projects. We restricted. over $500 million.
Yes, I've tried to divulge this, and I will be giving. I just received these documents from the chairman of Judiciary, and I will be making copies available for the committee members. I have tried to analyze it, and it's. And I apologize for not having copies before here. I just got them a few minutes ago, and I think that it is very uncontrolled, the spending mechanism, at the very least. That's what it appears to be, and the reason that I come up with a couple billion dollars worth of projects is because that's what it very well could be, those kind of large numbers that we're talking about. And the executive summary that was issued to the governor, I think that I'm glad that we're addressing the problem, and I think that your mechanism on the governor's mansion, that the chairman so properly contracted for you, I think that's an excellent mechanism for getting a handle on this funny money problem, and I think that it should be carried on through. In fact, I had never heard of that term until I read it in the document here.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. I've allowed quite a little leeway on that in order for you to make your point. I would like to keep the conversation down to the reason why we're here is to Mr. Fletcher's qualifications for doing the job that he has done for the committee. Representative Locker.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Fletcher, I'm Barbara Locker, and I have some questions. I'll be slow, because I'll be writing down your answers. Before I do, I would like to ask the Chairman to clarify one thing. You said that it was obvious to you that statutes had been broken, and so you had turned over some material to the Legislative Legal Council.
Yes.
Is that Mr. Barrier's office,
that's
or is
right.
that someone else? Thank you. Right. Okay. What is your present employment, Mr. Fletcher?
I'm retired from the state and from the military.
And when did you leave the state?
November the 30th was, 83 was my last day.
Okay, and did you resign?
I elected early retirement.
Early retirement. Do you care to share with us why?
Well, it's a matter of written record in my memorandum to my supervisor when I retired, that I was retiring because of really the conditions in the department got so bad, morale got so low, and I had always been able to maintain morale among my employees because I always tried to understand their problems and deal with them when they approached me with them, but it just got to the point to where myself and everybody I had any dealings with in DOT it was a chore to get up in the morning and go to work because things got so bad. My employees came to me just wanting to know when they were going to be fired or transferred or whatever because of Commissioner Casey's constant threat that he's going to fire everybody in the department. But I couldn't answer them. I couldn't give them any satisfaction. I couldn't help their morale. And so I felt like, you know, it was just time to put in retirement. I was 55 in February, and my boss tried to get me to wait till I was 55 rather than take a $107 a month penalty and retire early. But it just wasn't worth it to me to sit there and watch the destruction of all these good people. And that's exactly what I mean, destruction.
Okay, so what you have said to me is basically that the gentleman that asked you to come to work over there was trying to keep you, was asking you to stay, but you felt so frustrated because you were unable to help your employees who were in turn frustrated that you chose to leave early. Is that correct?
That's correct. I felt that I no longer had the tools required of the support from above to do my job and thereby keep my employees' morale up and where they felt like they could work, and so I just give it up.
One of the things that you said was that you could not stand by and watch the destruction of good people, which would lead me to, and also you coupled that with the fact that it appeared to be the then commissioner, Mr. Casey, that was causing most of your problem, would lead me to believe that possibly that department wasn't all that bad before Mr. Casey came there. If all these good people came to you wringing their hands at this late date, which might be a little bit different than what I've been led to believe as I hear these terrible things about DOT. Could you share with me a little bit about your feelings on that?
Well, Well, really, I think if you go back to the time when the Public Works and they merged into one department, probably what the problems probably started then, I guess. A large department, I don't know, I wasn't there. I just presume they had some problems when I went to work there, because that's why I was hired, to try to help them straighten out the CIP cost accounting and control, if you will, how money was spent on CIP projects. I'm not saying that the money was improperly spent.
That's important here.
They're spending dollars they don't have. I mean, I don't know if any of you gentlemen, any ladies got involved with the, there were two particular projects that come to mind, Sands Point and Latouche Harbor. And this wasn't too long ago. I believe, as I recall, Sands Point spent all of Latouche Harbor's money because they were both funded within the same co-location code. And as I said, if you generate a payment document through the state accounting system, as long as there's money available, free balance, it'll pay the bill. And then it records in our CIP, or DOT CIP cost accounting system as an over expenditure of the project.
So basically what you're saying is that there's very poor accounting procedures here, rather than money disappearing into thin air, such as maybe somebody stealing it.
I don't think money's disappearing into thin air, if that's the definition.
Well, I think I heard that here today, and I think it's important that you bring that up.
I think that if you're talking about large amounts of money, like $2 billion, you may find that when you go back to the inception date of the financial management accounting system, when they rung up the system, there was figures that weren't loaded out of the previous whatever system they had. Mm-hmm. If they didn't get loaded in the current system, then they're missing. And this is one of the problems I had in trying to reconcile our Department 24 cost accounting system to the state accounting system. When I went to work for DOT, we were $1 billion out of balance. And it was because a combination of facts of data that wasn't loaded into the system on its inception. And found a couple of months of journal voucher runs, which processed through the state and never processed through our system. So when you record money on one book and don't record it on the other, you go out of balance. But anyway, there was one month of February 1983 that I had the two systems and balance to the penny. And then, due to the funny things the financial management system does, June the 30th of 83, when they ended the year, we went $139 million out of balance. Well, I was in charge of, they would produce one run initially at the beginning of the month, which I got. I checked it out. If there's anything wrong, they had to correct it before they made the full run of reports to distribute to the region. And I caught this. It's a quirk in the system, and it has many, that permits them to bring back old projects that have been long since closed out. What it does is brings the funding back and puts it on the book and drops all the expenditures. Well, when you do that. So most of the $139 million that we were out of balance was that type thing. And we got that corrected and got the report run. And I believe now I saw last month and they were $5,000 out of balance, and that was because of the systems input error, human error. So they are essentially in balance, the state accounting system.
So it's fair to say that you left under not that good of circumstances, but they were yours. You were unhappy with DOT and felt frustrated in being unable to handle the problems of your employees.
Yeah,
is that correct?
I had to fight myself to go to work. That's
right, so you were not happy, so that's probably where some of Mr. Larson's innuendos had come from.
Okay. Clarify that.
Okay, and I guess probably another thing I think we need to clarify before we go any further, and I've heard you say it about three times, and I'm not sure the entire committee has heard it, and that is that in your investigation, if you will, but your accounting, or trying to track the accounting procedures and over expenditures in the renovation, you really didn't find anything that you didn't expect to find, because you found it every day in your job in other CIP projects. Is that correct?
I didn't find anything that I didn't expect to find, no, because even before I retired and before I ever dreamed that this little contract would come up, I knew that they were overspending in this particular location.
But again, to be sure, is this the first time they ever overspent a CIP?
No, I pointed out in my initial report that they should not make special emphasis of this overexpenditure because it's common practice.
I think that's very important because it's obvious we are making special emphasis, and I can understand why DOT would think they could get away with it because they've done it for years. It's done it, right?
It's a matter of record.
All right, I have more questions, Mr. Chairman. When you first told us how you had been hired, I wrote down some of the things that you said, and I'd kind of like it to elaborate on. One, it says that you were contacted by another person. Who was that person? And they asked if you would be interested in doing some work along these lines, to quote you, along these lines. Who was the person? Do you care to share that with us?
Doug Goldbach, Deputy Director of DOT at the time, Financial Management Division.
The same person that had hired you or not?
He's the person I had worked for at HNSS.
Okay, that had brought you over to DOT. Is he still at DOT?
He's still at DOT, and he's a deputy director.
Okay. And then Chairman Abood contacted you and told you what he wanted done, and you agreed. Could you tell us what it was that he asked you to do, in your own words?
He asked me, based on my experience at DOT and the fact that I knew where the information was available, to go into the accounting records of DOT, check into the expenditures on the governor's mansion renovation, pull backup documentation to identify what these expenditures were, what they went for. And in doing this, I begin to notice the charges with building T accounts and to certain account accounts. And the $2.434 million that was charged to the project, there's some 300-something thousand of that was not spent through the Department of Transportation. That was handled through the governor's office contracts. But the total was reported as $2.434 million. As a result of my efforts and the charges generated after MNO started working in the mansion in November, brings that figure up to an estimated 2.7. Preparation of most of the working people in DOT to get that information. Mm-hmm. Because I left there with good feelings, and I still have good feelings. They respect me, and I respect them.
Are you suggesting that the reason why they were so cooperative is that it's such a common thing within their department? I mean, I would still think they would be somewhat embarrassed about the fact that they do business that way. Or do you think that was something special about the governor's mansion?
Well, it, as you know, it's been in the public here much more than any other project.
And however, it focuses more on how they do business. I can reflect back on them.
Yeah, it reflects on them, and I think, personally, this is my opinion, mm-hmm. they cooperated so much on this particular thing is because they want the facts brought out. This is the reason why I took the job. They want the facts brought out, not because it's the governor's mansion, but because they don't want this to be common practice. They want it to quit. They want public money is spent and recorded and spent for what they appropriated for.
Okay, so they actually helped you. I'm not going to use the word take advantage because I don't believe that. But this was an opportunity to focus attention on something that was very bad throughout the department because already the audience had already been generated for it. And so they felt that by showing you how bad it can get, maybe somebody would clean up the entire department.
That was my purpose, and mm-hmm. I think it's theirs, and it's still their desire to have this clarified and corrected so that this type of thing can happen in the future. Well, it can happen, but it can't be so commonplace. And the reason probably why it still is common to overspend on CIP projects is because nothing like this ever happened. And maybe this will do some good. If it don't, I wasted my time.
Well, I can tell you that after watching the show that we had here the other day, I thought it was the first time it had ever happened. That doesn't make it any less terrible to me, but I really did. I thought that this was the first time it had ever happened.
I'd like to make it one thing clear. I'm not being critical against DOT. I don't care who it is, you have to have some kind of control on project expenditures. You have to have a, some kind of way of saying if the governor's mansion has $2 million to spend on renovation, but they don't spend $2 million in one.
We all agree with you, and I think that we're all rather discouraged to find out that this is done all the time and that it is the way the department has been run. Now, many of us have met, have read those audits over the years, and we thought that they were cleaning up their act. We did not realize that what we saw the other day was just one more pebble on the beach, that this is the way they operate. And so it's extremely important to me that even though you don't wish to be critical of DOT, I have no problem being critical of them because I cannot believe that, that that's how they do business.
Well, it's obvious that I'm being critical of them, but I don't mean to
say I know what you're saying. You know, you're nothing personal in it is what you're saying to me, all right? Well, let's hope that that's the only department in the state government that operates that poorly or we're all in trouble. I can think of one other, but we won't talk about it right now. You did mention that that you had not been selective when you organized the material. As you researched the material, you were not selective. However, you also said to us that there was more material available than what the committee had discussed to date.
I said that there, in all probability, are more expenditures in the system that related to the governor's mansion than the committee has available to them because time would not permit to check all of the charges for whatever in account they charged them. We had one particular in operating account that we knew they were charging to on the timesheet, but I didn't pull every timesheet of every DOT person.
I heard you say that, but I heard you say something else, and I'll see if I can't phrase it differently. I wrote it down here. We were, Representative Larson asked you if you just, I don't think he used the word selective, but he indicated that maybe you just brought before us information that you thought was important, and of course the second step would be, you know, did you give us everything? And what you said was you gave us everything, however we haven't discussed everything up until now. The committee.
That's the chairman. First off,
let me answer the question. Yes, that's exactly what that is.
I would like the witness to answer the question.
You can answer yes too.
I mean, I think that's extremely important, that number one, you were not selected, and number two, it is all available to this committee, even though we may not have it all, or have not discussed it all up until this date.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Mr. Chairman, on that point.
That there is more available.
Let me clarify that more available. If you can find it, it's available. We have reason to believe, this committee, or I believe, but there, and what he's saying is there's a lot more information that we can't get our hands on because we don't know how deep down this goes.
Mr. Chairman,
we've
that
only gone
what he
thus
said.
Far to, and as I said before, originally, the vehicle being used is the mansion because that's where we came into our investigations on it.
Mr. Chairman, that isn't what he said. He has said what you've said also. He says that there's probably far more that he can reach, but he's also saying that there are other things that we have not discussed yet.
Representative Larson, I want to clear something up. Yes, there are some things that we have in that room.
That's Larson's fault.
Well, whoever.
It's all right. Who cares? In, they all look alike.
in the committee that we have, and records and things we have not discussed. Because if you recall now, I said the first phase, excuse me, the first phase, or was it first phase, or was it the first segment was going to be M&O. And that's what you're looking at now, is M&O. Now you're going to get into violation of statutes. You're going to have that. And you're going to get into a couple of more, as I so stated. Contracts, we're going to be into that. So if you're to imply that we have information you haven't seen, you're absolutely correct. But you're free to see it anytime you want to.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would then follow that up with a request that you share with me all information that you have available just as soon as you are prepared to make it public. And I would appreciate having it before requests go that are generated by that information to people such as our legislative legal counsel or budget and audit if it goes on behalf of this committee. I think it's important that this committee not be selective with its information, that it review every single piece of paper and come to our own conclusions. And I just wanted to be sure that I understood the gentleman correctly. I feel much better having had you do our investigation, knowing that in fact you have not been selective and that you have brought everything before this committee that you had time to research. And with that, I guess I would just be all through, and I thank you for answering my question.
On that point,
just a moment, please. You requested something from me. What was it again?
The material that you offered.
Say what?
Backup.
Oh, before
nothing
I
specific.
Before
nothing
I talk to anybody in the legislative legal counsel, this has got I've got to present it all to the
committee. Okay, I did not say talk to you, Mr. Chairman. What I said was before requests are made on behalf of the committee to either legislative legal counsel or budget and audit, that material be made available to us. And I might add the Anchorage Times.
Well, you can if the material is available to you, and if I wish to do it as chairman. As chairman of the state affairs, I have that prerogative to do so, and I will continue to do so.
I would have to follow that up with a question, then. Are you saying that you have the prerogative to also not share with the state information? Is that what you're implying?
No, I don't have that prerogative not
to
share with you.
Thank you.
But you can find it if you want information. I've told you a dozen times. I'll tell you once more. If you want information, then you get your staff down here to come and get it and talk to my aides, to Ms. Horace, and they can have anything they want. But if they don't come in, they sure as hell can't get it. Now, that's as simple as I can put it. Mr. Connery.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate, Fred, I know that you we're not putting you on trial, making you a little nervous here, all of us sitting up here looking and feeling you feeling questions. But I feel that I'd like to have the dates going back. You said there was $1 billion out of balance at a certain date, and then there's $135 million out of balance at a later date. Do you have an approximate date of that?
When I went to work for DOT, it was April 1st of 1980. At that point in time.
82?
April 1st of 1980.
Oh, in 80, okay.
80, what is it now? Work there? 81.
Okay.
At that point in time, the first, when I became aware that there was such a thing as the CIP project cost accounting run, the first time I reviewed it and compared it to the department corresponding department accounting figures for the state run, it was approximately $1 billion out of balance. And it was because of certain things that happen at year end in the state that don't happen at DOT, or a combination of not loading specific data when FMS was started up. And identified a good portion of it, as I mentioned before, from 2 months of journal voucher runs that were missing out of the DOT files that went through the state accounting system that threw us out of balance quite a few million dollars. And the rest was simply from the system dropping expenditures at year end and rolling forward fund balances in a project. Most of it was that type of thing. It wasn't that anybody had absconded with any money or anything like that. I don't believe that for a minute. I think every penny that's made available to DOT is properly recorded on the books. It's just not.
Then the date that the $135 million out of balance you indicated some approximate date, I was just trying to.
That was the July run for 1983, which the run is made approximately the 5th of the month. Following the month then, so that would be the run for the year end, June the 30th of 1983, is the run where we went way out of balance because of the system bringing back funding and dropping expenditure. And this was corrected.
Has, you know, I don't want to shift the focus. It seemed to be, to me, that we're trying to shift the focus from the these expenditures to whether you had gotten the entire picture to us or not. And I don't know if that, I don't want that, I hope that, it would hope that it would, wouldn't be more than what we're looking at, but it's my understanding it could be more. And in your opinion, it's probable. But
my opinion
your,
is...
But you have no documentation for that.
My strictly opinion.
Yes.
And my opinion is lower than several other opinions I've heard.
The...
And a dollar amount.
Good thing you clarified that.
I think that to clear up the statement of Representative Walker that you didn't go in there finding anything you didn't expect. I don't think that, I think that certainly if you didn't expect to find it, you wouldn't have been looking in the first place or wouldn't have...
I wouldn't have took the job.
You wouldn't have took the job if you didn't expect you to produce. And I don't think that that should or imply or take the focus away from the fact that whether it was a common thing or whatever, that the fact that it did happen.
It doesn't particularly matter to me that it was the governor's mansion.
That's right.
If it happened to be that project, it could have been any project.
That's right. Do you think any of this information that we've been talking about have any reflection on Commissioner Casey's departure from the DOT?
Well, I hope it did. I tried to make it available to everybody.
Was
I don't know
it,
if you got my letter or not, but I sent one to have the legislature that pointed out some of the wild things he was doing. And I hope you talked about
time,
some
of
his departure.
Prior to his departure?
Yes, a couple of weeks prior to his
departure. Do you think that he was totally responsible for this personally? All this?
I think he was totally irresponsible.
Or responsible for, irresponsible, but do you think he was the only one responsible for this is what I'm asking. Were there others that should have shared some of the responsibility?
I think the responsibility for the department's morale getting shot to hell and things going to hell in a handbasket belongs to him. The responsibility for the lack of proper expenditure control in CIP projects is not his. It existed before he got there.
Do you think that he had any pressure from some of his superiors or perhaps to that reflected some of these expenditures? Or do you think that it was just something that was common?
I don't think he had any pressure from anybody because I don't think he listened to anybody.
See, I think I got one more. You stated you didn't have any hard feelings with any DOT or the personnel department. That hasn't influenced your work one way or the other.
Well, I wouldn't say I didn't have any. There are people in DOT that I can't hardly stand.
Is that all, Mr. Connery, thus far?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Or Jerry, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Were you ever familiar with a request for office space put out by the Department of Transportation and Public Facility by Commissioner Casey and an amendment that was put to it? Which would curtail a private driver in order to get within a certain area.
I heard some talk about how it took 30 minutes to get from the Douglas, Jenner Douglas Bridge to the hill here.
You know,
it never took me 30 minutes.
I just want to make sure we're all going from the same sheet there for a while back. But within the CIP legislation that comes to mind here on how the... I want to make sure that I understood it, because, see, I think the governor gave instructions to Casey. That's my own personal opinion. But anyway, the way it would work is we have legislation, capital improvement projects, which are legislation or laws. Then we have the commissioner's office, and under the commissioner's office, there's an agreement to administer from the departments to the commissioners, and agreements to administer from the CIPs to the deputy commissioners, and then below that to the directors, and then below that to the project managers. And all these have agreements to administer assigned portions of regional CIP projects. And what these are is a group. Is there, in your opinion, within this project now, the governor's mansion, do you think that in your course of gathering material, did you find where there was a lack of written agreements between the commissioner and the project managers? Or did you find any agreements whatsoever? Meaning, the agreements, or were they out of agreement? Do you understand what I'm asking?
I think so, and I didn't go into that particular type thing. But all I saw was that we lack, what do you call it, agreements, but the lack of procedures in contracting, I mean, you know.
If I might, I don't know how we could clarify this with numbers, Mr. Chairman, but according to the internal mechanism of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, there is an agreement to administer a procedure that should go to the project manager. And from going through, I have not been able to find any of that anywhere. It seemed like that there was an outside of the department actually giving a direction. And I would say that these are out of agreement, as well as, also, since I have this for a second, projects that are still on the books because of right-of-ways are, that have been completed but haven't been closed out because of right-of-ways are some other things.
Mr. Ward, I'm going to have to interrupt you for a moment. I can appreciate what you're doing, but this gentleman here does not have this document in front of him. As a matter of fact, I don't have this document in front of me, none of the committee. And the purpose of the committee is to, by your own actions, to question, if you will, any questions you have for this particular gentleman under the contract he had with us to do the job in which he did, and does he qualify or is he not? And I think, and I can appreciate this, and I think you've got a very good case here on another area of DOT, of which I'm sure that Mr.
I don't
Fletcher's
understand
not,
what the problem is.
Well, I don't think that Mr. Fletcher can answer it, and I can't either. So I'd rather limit it to what we came here for, and but I appreciate what you're doing here.
Okay, I would
there are a lot of strange documents around that one doesn't understand, too. Are there any? Oh, Mr. Mr. Miller, I'm sorry.
Just a quick question. Mr. Fletcher, I was just kind of curious. That you still have close ties and friends at the department and division. Is your perception under the change of commissionership that the morale situation has improved? You feel any better about that?
Well, it couldn't have gotten worse. There's no way it could have gotten worse. I think it has a little, but there's still a lot of questions among the people I've talked to as to really what they're going to do, you know, straighten up what has been messed up by Casey. The best indication I can get is it's better, but not much.
I previously was getting a whole lot of calls.
At least the threat of being fired or transferred or whatever has seemed to died off and guess enough.
There would appear that Commissioner Knapp is attempting to do a humongous job down there, and I've got every confidence in the world that he will accomplish it, given the time and given the opportunity to get down into that division and find out what's been going on. Now, the same people have been there, the same people are still there below him that have been there during the time all these calls came in. And I'm very aware of that, as well as you. But I have every confidence the commissioner is going to attempt.
I think when he finds out what's going on, some of them might not be there.
That is a decision that Mr. Knapp will have to make, and I'm sure he's capable of doing so without any problems. Is that all, Mr. Miller,
for
you right now, Mr. Larson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of questions. In your investigation, we really looked upon two points. One was, of course, your ability to know what to look for and where to go to get it. Did you receive any resistance from anyone in your investigative process who, for one reason or another, might want some file to be missing or you not to be able to get into a certain area?
No, I did. Complete cooperation.
Okay, complete cooperation. Okay, the next thing, excuse me.
No problems whatsoever in that respect. Okay.
The next thing is a little bit of follow-up, and I realize, Mr. Chairman, that this might be more broad of a question, but you mentioned at one time a $1 billion something or other when you first came aboard. Of course, when you first came aboard, that was during another administration. It wasn't during the present one. You also reiterated several problems that did exist with Commissioner Casey, and that still exists. But I think you conceded that this is a problem inherent in DOT, that it's nothing new. But from the time that you first went aboard to DOT to the present time, if I interpret your answer to Representative Miller, is that things have gotten a little bit better, but not much better, is that?
Well, as I really just based on what I've learned talking to the employees and since I retired, specifically since March 1st, and hadn't went out before, things have got better. And I think that probably get a lot better. He hasn't had time. That's a big department. I mean, you can't expect him to know what's going on in 2 months. But I heard, I don't know if it's rumor or what, that he made a statement he didn't have any problems. Well, if he don't think he's got any problems, he's really got a problem. Because there are problems in DOT that need to be taken care of, and I'm sure you probably get around to it.
No, in the brief conversations I had with the commissioner, I think he's aware, and he's a practical individual, and that he is taking a good look, and he's going to make sure what the situation is, and then he's going to act.
Well, I spent 24 years in the Coast Guard, the same outfit he was an admiral in, and I know you don't get to be an admiral to be in a dummy, so I think that the man, as soon as he realizes that he's got problems and puts them on the road, he'll get things to do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I hope we got a few things written about that here, just so the message gets back to him that we're not, as I said before, committee, this has not been a head-hunting proposition. It hasn't been a character assassination of anyone. It's a problem we've had in DOT in a long time. Only in this particular case, some of the direction DOT was taking alongside of the Department of Administration took, and a few others, if they've been left to their own brothers, if you will, and the project wasn't there, probably a lot of it, most of it, would never have been uncovered, never. And it had to be directed by somebody besides those that have been mentioned today. I might also say that I can recall back in my first term down here, we had, and Mr. Miller can remember that, I don't know whether you can or not, the transportation would uncover over $1 billion that nobody could really account for. Well, we asked for the records here, and they had a set of records here. They also had another duplicate runs down in Texas someplace. We were squirrel that thing out of there pretty good, too. You can't have two sets of books and doing the same thing, so what we wanted, they'd give us certain figures, but what the real factors were, they were not the real figures. They were confused. As a matter of fact, even to this day, they have what they call a financial management expert, I believe. I don't think that's his name, that's his title. But that's precisely what Mr. Lynn is brought in for fiscal management. Is that not correct, in that department? Or am I wrong in that assumption?
I don't know about that. I would say the best expert on financial management system in DOT is Doug Goldberg.
But that isn't his real job right there, I don't think.
Deputy director.
Well, I may be wrong.
If anybody wants to know anything about financial management, if they're smart, they'll ask him.
But who is his boss?
Carter Lynn.
Thank you. Mr. Carter.
Has anyone from DOT or the administration or budget and audit disputed, to your knowledge, any of the figures that you presented to the committee? To your knowledge?
To my knowledge? Not to my knowledge. I'm sure they will.
Well, I think it'd be in order that if we had, I don't know, what is it, auditor or accounting or someone from DOT or from the administration or budget and audit or somebody, I think it'd be appropriate if we had some of them after they've had an opportunity to review this report. I think it would be in order to ask them either what they came for the committee or written comments about the report. And at that time, if we discover anything that's any wrongdoings or any criminal things involved, well, at that time, we'd be better. I'm not implying that they are, but in the event they was, if we had at that time, we'd have a better handle on where to go after we found out if they was documents that we've been presented with, and hopefully that we'll be presented with more. At that time, whatever appropriate actions to take, the committee would be better served. But I think that we've had Mr. Fletcher, and I certainly appreciate him being up on the hot seat, so to speak, today. And I would think that the longer we wait, I haven't seen anybody dispute anything except, and I don't think that it takes away from the fact that because they did it before, it makes it right now or in the past. So I would just like to ask Mr. Chairman that possibly someone from DOT or the administration or budget and audit, I'd leave that up to you, who would be the appropriate people to come in and have their comments for the record.
Right. Okay, I have plans, I'm making plans now to have DOT come before us. They are performing another audit down there right now, as a matter of fact, in DOT. Yeah, evidently. We have some water, please. Pardon?
Who is they? You said they are.
DOT.
DOT is performing another audit.
Performing their own internal audit again. I think that's correct. Is that not now? I know. Okay, they are performing an audit because I had them call me just the other day and I told them that I would cooperate in any way I could to give them any records that they wanted, any backup that we had in order to, because they're trying to verify our figures where they got them in the first place. And I said that that's their public records, and if they want them, they sure be able to use them at any time. I don't want to get the committee involved, and I won't say this, I won't talk in just a moment. I have the feeling, and the feeling is that there are some members on the committee that think that we're doing something wrong. I'd like to personally assure you that we're not doing anything wrong. We're trying to do everything right. We maintain a profile of professionalism, and I want to maintain that. I wouldn't stand for anything less than that, for those that are interested in. What you're going to have are facts, as untainted as it can possibly be, documentation for everything we've got. You heard me say it, I've turned some stuff over to our legal to find out what the status is on it and so on, because it is illegal, what has happened, and you'll be getting a report on that as soon as I get it back. There'll be other things I'm going to be turning over to him, and with his advice, as their advice rather, how we should proceed. If there is wrongdoing, I feel absolutely positive in my mind that there isn't anybody on this committee who wouldn't like to see it just to be justified and to straighten it out. And if my head rolls on it, then so be it. If anybody's head has got to roll, hopefully it won't. But at least we'll get some attention and straighten out. I've even asked the Billy Barrier shop for some type of legislation to tighten up the holes that allows them to do these things and puts us into the kind of a problem that we've got, so that we don't have to go through all this baloney again on some other damn project. So we're not doing anything wrong. We're trying to do it as right as we can, and we're not after anybody. And the books are open to anybody that I've ever talked to. You come on over. My staff is prepared to give you anything you want. We'll give them anything they want. We got an open book, and we're telling the truth, and therefore we haven't got to remember what we say after this meeting is over with. So if there's anything further, any further questions for Mr. Fletcher? Mr. Fletcher, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know your wife is in the hospital, and I presume you're going to be heading there momentarily.
Yes, sir.
And please thank her for allowing you to, I'd say that anyway, to be gone for so long.
Thanks for asking.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anything further to come before the committee?
The first, when you first brought this up, I'd just like to say that I noticed a hint of that you was somewhere at fault for even thinking about bringing this up, and I'd like to, without blowing smoke towards you or anything, I think you should be commended for bringing it up. And whether the, I don't think that, as I said, the way I read the last couple of meetings, that you've been taking some flack for even bringing some facts before the committee, and I'd like it cleared up. And certainly, I think that you should be commended, and Carol too, for doing all the work on this, and I hope that whatever the outcome of this is will be productive for all of us.
Thank you, Mr. Caudry, and you're welcome to say anything further that you wish about that. Is there anything further to come before the committee?